Okay, I have a challenge before me, and I hope I can make it. So we've entered a new year. We've entered a new decade. Everyone's talking about it. Your last 10 years are over, and now we're into the 20s and the 30s. And this is a good time for us to reflect and to refresh and maybe probably even to revive some of the dreams we have, plan our roadmap for the next decade that is coming. How many of you have a plan? How many of you plan for a year? Just random. How many plan, do a five-year plan? Okay. I've been now challenged to do a 10-year plan. Okay. Our life is not some kind of randomness that happens in this, and that we happen to exist in this cosmos. Okay. We have a purpose and a calling, each one of us. If we have put our faith in Jesus, then our lives have been changed forever. Our destiny has been altered forever. We have been saved and brought into the kingdom of God for a purpose. If you don't believe me, read Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 is full of you have been called, you have been predestined, even before the foundations of the earth were laid. I have called you, I have chosen you. Good works appointed for you even before the foundations of this world. So we have a reason for our life. And this has got nothing to do with being here on a Sunday or going for a gym meeting. I am talking about your whole life. God has a purpose. What you eat, what you wear, where you live, which company you work for, who you marry, your children, your neighbors, your relatives, which pub you visit, yes, God is interested. Did I say pub? Okay. So, do you have a goal for your life? Or does your life look like this? Eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work. At the beginning of 2019, we asked ourselves a question. What will history write about us? How many of you remember that? Yeah? What will history say about you? Are you building a legacy that will last forever? So the question to ask is, what did December 2019 have to say about January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, November, December 2019. Was there a difference between Jan 2019 and December 2019? Now, I am asking this question not to condemn. Okay? A lot of Christians, and we, because we preach grace, we can get it a little twisted. God challenges us, even in grace. Okay? And I'll show you how. Because if we don't ask ourselves this question, then come December 2020, and there will be no difference between December 2020 and December 2019 and December 2018. You agree? So you're going to journey with me today with lots of questions, and you will have to get all your wheels turning. God, as I said, has a destiny over our lives. You have been called and chosen, not just called and chosen, but you have been handpicked. And we do need to remind ourselves of this truth every now and again. Otherwise, what happens is we drift and we do not grab hold of our calling. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I know there's one thing that the enemy hates, and that is for sons and daughters of God to fulfill their purpose and destiny for which you died on the cross to save them. So today, God, I pray, will you grab hold of our spirits as even you prepared it in worship, and grab hold of our minds and grab hold of our wills and help us to yield to you and your speaking to each one of us, God. I pray this in your precious name. Amen. So my topic for today is staying committed to your calling. And my text for today is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. Paul is encouraging Timothy here. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith with which you first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now it lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to what? Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. I'm not going to do an exegesis of this text today, but I am going to share around the theme of this text. So what do you see here? God had a purpose for Timothy. He had put gifts inside him. There was a calling upon his life. In another passage in scripture says, don't let anybody look down on you. Okay? Don't let anyone look down on you or make you doubt your calling. So the fanning into flame requires commitment. You have to take hold of that for which Christ took a hold of you. Do you know what that for which Christ took a hold of you? Do you know what that is for you personally? Why has God saved you? Why has God saved me? I'm just going to share some thoughts before I get into a more structured part. Now, when we hear this word calling, what do you think of? Christian calling, ministry, full-time ministry, pastor so-and-so, deacon so-and-so. No, that's not what I'm talking about. There is a call on each of our lives. Yes, there are different calls in our life. We have a career calling, we have a Christian calling, and we have a general call. General call is our salvation. In our Christian calling, what gifts, spiritual gifts, has God put in you that you need to develop and use for the equipping and encouraging of the saints? And you have a career calling, whether you're an engineer, a doctor, a teacher, an accountant, whatever. God is interested in that as well. How do you become a doctor? God gave you the capacity to be a doctor. He knew that that's what you were going to be. Okay? So he is interested in all of our being. It's about being an apostolic people. What is that, you might ask? Isn't apostle a person, one of those four gifts? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, Ephesians 4 ministry. Am I apostolic? Turn to someone and say, I am apostolic, and I'll show you how. I am apostolic. We are called to be an apostolic people. What is that? Now, apostle is like saying ambassador. It's just that Greek word, they didn't bother translating it. They just took it into the English text. Who is an apostle or who is an ambassador? When Rome conquered countries, what they did is they sent an apostolic team then to that country, and their aim was to make the conquered nation look like Rome over a period of time. So they imported their language, for starters, their culture, their literature, their art, their architecture, their clothes, their food, so that over time, that city or that nation also began to look like Rome. The English did that with us. Just come to Mumbai, come to Victoria Terminus, go through Ballard Pier, go through, Feroz Shah Mehta Road and DM Road, and you will think that you are take away all the noise and the clutter, go there in the evening, go there in the night, and you'll think you're in London. Because they imported their architecture into our country. They imported their language, their schooling, did they not? Their dress, their music, their song, their dance. And that is what apostolic means. Rome Romanized the world. The English did whatever to the world. Anglicized the world. Thank you. And we, what are we supposed to do? For want of a better word, Christianize the world. You and I are supposed to be the aroma of Christ. We are salt and light to the world. Okay? Salt and light that gathers just on a Sunday is useless. I'm the pastor's wife and I'm telling you, salt and light gathered just on a Sunday is useless. Salt has to be in food. Salt has to flavor. Salt has to influence. It has an its property is it influences whatever it is put into. Does it not? It enhances the flavor. So if anybody tells you that we are 2% Christian and that we have no part to play in this country, they are mistaken, my friends. We maintain the ecosystem. There is peace in this land because of our presence. Read your Bible and you will see how many times the presence of the Jews preserved the nation. You and I preserve this nation. We are very, 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 very important. We are light. We dispel darkness. We keep wickedness at bay if you behave as light wherever you are. Do you remember that? Light, darkness has no concept of light. But when we come in, we can't help but bring light unless you hide your light. Do not hide it. Let us be salt and light so that we are truly apostolic. Apostolic is not just to change and influence a small group of people here. But you see, what is the with English education, it has affected our entire nation, has it not? With our churches, with our schools, with our colleges, with our hospitals, with our care for the helpless, for the destitute. Have we not affected our nation? Yes? Brothers and sisters, let us pick up that mandate once again. Okay? Let this decade be a decade where we are truly apostolic. So this brings me to a question. Do you have a want to in your life? Do you have a want to that drives you every day, that makes you wake up? I want to do this. I want to be this. You see, in life we go through many cycles of ups and downs. But this is what it should look like. You have a cycle, and then you have a cycle, and then you have a cycle, and then you have a cycle. What do you see? Okay? But if it is this, there's a problem. Okay? But God takes us through cycles. He takes us through testing times. He takes us through trials and troubles to mature us. I can't go through every scripture today because we are running out of time. It says for the testing of your faith to produce you mature so that character is built and made perfect. Okay? God uses those crisis points to prune us. What is pruning? Cutting off things that are not bearing fruit. Cutting off things that are not useful. Pruning happens to a Christian. Cutting off happens to someone who doesn't believe. Read John 15. Branches that bear fruit, he prunes. How many of us have studied for major board exams? We have, right? And do you not prune back your life in that year? You may give up sport, you may give up movies, you may give up parties, you may give up something because you say, I need to study 8 to 10 hours a day. Right? Jess? What? No? Okay? Something got pruned. Some people are just brilliant, what can I say? You know? So we prune some things. I need pruning whenever I have to focus. And most of us do. And so God does that. When he is bringing about growth, there's pain, there's discomfort. Those of you who have children, how many of your kids go through growth pains? I knew when my kids had growth pains. You know, they would complain that their knees and their calves, that, what is that, the shin, would begin to ache. And every time it ached, I would tell them, now you're going to grow taller. And right enough, that would be a growth spurt. Come stand against the doorpost and you're marking a little higher. But there was a little pain before growth. And God takes us through that. So, in order for you to fulfill your calling, you have to do something. It will not happen by magic. There is no magic, my friends. And it is not God's responsibility to make it happen. We have to partner with him. Colin shared 2 weeks ago about pressing on. What is pressing on? It requires effort, focus, and determination. Curved balls may come at you. But if you don't swing your bat and at least give it a shot, you might just get knocked down. Many Christians, unfortunately, have a faulty understanding or theology when it comes to destiny. They say, almost like the Muslims, inshallah, God willing. What God willing? God wills for you to work and to do. Okay? You need to do something. God says he has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of sound mind and of self-control. The grace of God is available to us. Not to sit back and relax and enjoy the ride, but the grace of God is available for us to press on toward the goal and to take hold of that for which Christ has taken a hold of us. So we have to sometimes fight for our destiny. And there is nobody I know who has not had to fight to see their dreams come to pass or for their destiny. Let's look at even in the Bible. Take Moses, take Joseph, take Paul, take David, take Daniel. Any of them had a smooth ride? They all had this. Does it mean that they did something wrong? Does it mean that God forsook them? No. God was taking them through the refiner's fire. I'm going to put up some statements on the slide. And I want you to see whether you identify with these. I can't help it. It's all happening only to me. Why me? What have I done to deserve this? No one is helping me. I'm all alone. They did this to me. I'm the only one in the whole world who's ever gone through this. If you have ever said these statements, and I am guilty as well, these are statements of people who feel like they are victims and that they are powerless. This is an indicator that you probably have a victim mindset. Victims do not take responsibility for their lives. Now, you may not like to hear this, but unless you begin to take responsibility for the way you think and that your thoughts affect your behavior and your actions and your feelings, nothing, my friends, is going to change. Victims do not take responsibility because they don't believe they can change the atmosphere around them. I'm not saying circumstance. The circumstances may stay rough, but you can change the atmosphere around you based on how you think. And we are going to look at two people today who changed the atmosphere around them even when circumstances were contrary to their calling. And we're going to look at Joseph and we're going to look at Paul. They had a choice. Either they could sink under the weight of circumstances and the injustices done to them, or they could rise above it. If you wait for circumstances to become perfect before you start to pursue anything or go after your calling, trust me, my friends, you will be waiting till kingdom comes. You will be waiting forever. If you can't flourish in fire, you won't flourish at all. I'm going to repeat that. If you can't flourish in fire, you won't flourish at all. Do you know your calling? Do you have a dream that you're living for? Is your dream small or is it big? It should be big enough that it scares you. Because to wake up and brush your teeth doesn't need determination, does it? To comb your hair, that's not a dream. To get to work every day, that's not a dream. But have a dream big enough that's going to make you exert some effort. A strong no enables you to say a strong yes. In order to fulfill a dream or a calling, there are some things you need to say no to. There are some things you need to allow God to prune, some things you need to prune yourself. Dreams don't just happen. Neither do they happen overnight. They may happen in the night, but they happen over time. A wise man said, overnight success takes 20 years. And I've seen that over and over again. And I see this guy, I just met my cousin the other day, and we were just commenting on how successful his business is. And I was telling the kids, I said, you know, I remember when he would come to Mumbai, and we were in Mumbai then, with a bag of cakes to sell. Today, he runs a flourishing catering company. He's got multiple shops. He's got multiple canteens that he runs. Okay, that didn't happen just like that. That has happened over about four decades. Okay, I'm talking in terms of decades. So there is no such thing as overnight success. Dreams will get challenged. If you have a dream, trust me, it will get challenged. Joseph dreamed. He dreamed big dreams. Sheaves falling and bowing to him. Sun and moon falling and bowing to him. Stars bowing to him. Did he not? And then what happened? He got thrown into a pit. From a pit, he became a slave. And he became a prisoner way before he ever knew that he would be in the palace. It took a long, long time. Do you know, it took 13 years. It took even longer for King David. And we're going to look at Joseph's attitude. A little bit about our own story. When we came to Pune, and even before we came to Pune 17 and a half years ago, God had given us many prophetic words about big things. How many of you have heard of John Paul Jackson? Yeah, now that's the guy who prophesied over us. And you should think that, whoa, John Paul Jackson said it, it's going to happen. And God took us through fire. The first 7 years here were miserable, to say the least. Okay? You want to read the history? It's there on the blog. A Journey of Faith, Part 1, 2, 3. Read it. Because I don't have time to go into it. But suffice it to say that we got tested. You will breathe fire across the nation and the worlds, and you'll go to this continent and that continent, and your prophecies are going to come out of you, and songs are going to come out of you, and da-da-da, I see you traveling with your family. We came to a handful of people here. And in a couple of years, none of them were left. And we could have doubted. Did God really say? Even John Paul can get it wrong, can't he? Right? But God took us through that. There were many words over my life about songwriting and prophetic and things happening in the worship and presence of God and all of that. And there was this dry company of people. You know, and the test was, would you still worship me passionately as though you were leading a congregation of 200? And we have choices to make at that time. Choices not just for that moment, but keeping in mind the destiny that God has called you. It hasn't worked out. This year may be a bad year. Last year could have been a bad year. But let's look at it in the grander scheme of things and with a broader perspective from here to eternity. That's just a blip. If Joseph focused just on that year, I think he would have made some very different choices. So, to fulfill your calling requires character. Character, and I'm going to break that up into three things. Commitment, consistency, and communion. Commitment. Luke 16:10 to 12 says, whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much. Whoever's dishonest with little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with, if you have not been trustworthy, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you their own, your own? Another word for this is stewardship. When we are faithful with the little that God has given us, more will be given. Can we be trusted and entrusted? Can we be trusted and entrusted? It's very easy, my friends. You know the term, a new broom sweeps clean. Okay? I can be enthusiastic for 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 years. My challenge to you is, can you be enthusiastic and growing in enthusiasm decade after decade? My journey as a worship musician started at the age of 11. So that's 4 decades now. And God took me through many situations. Many situations. I have had to, 30 years into being a worship musician, I've had to sit under the leadership of someone who was old enough to be my son. And God tested me in that. Will you serve as enthusiastically and faithfully? Will you serve this man's vision as faithfully? Because you're doing it for me. And God will take you through that test. Sun, moon, stars bowing down. Joseph, can you look after Potiphar's household? Joseph, can you manage the prison before you manage the palace? Had Joseph had a different train of thought going in his head, he would have done things very differently. Joseph served Potiphar faithfully. It was not his household, it was not his business, but he served faithfully. He was victimized when he was falsely accused, but he did not think like a victim. Joseph stayed true to his character. He stayed committed even in crisis. He served faithfully. And that brings me to my next C, which is consistent. Joseph was consistent in his character. And that is why he rose to be in charge, even in the prison. What does this tell you? That circumstances did not dictate or shape his response. He served faithfully. Just the word dream could have triggered nightmares for Joseph. Could it not? Dream? Don't talk to me about dreams. Dreams is what has landed me in this mess. He could have chosen to shut his mouth when the baker and the butler came to him. And do you know what? He would have stayed rotting in prison for the rest of his life. But it is his consistent character that said, okay, bring me your dream and I will interpret it for you. And because he was faithful in the prison, the palace heard about him. And that altered, or rather, that played a role in opening up his destiny. Remember, in God's kingdom, nothing is ever wasted. No pain is wasted. No trial is wasted. God works everything out for our good in the end. And that is why Joseph could say, what you meant for evil, God worked for good. Do circumstances dictate your consistency and your commitment? Or can you stay rock solid? Consistency is an internal default position. It has got nothing to do with what is going on around you. So no matter that your boss is bad, no matter that you're not working in the right environment, you stay consistent. I've heard a lot of people saying, when I get the promotion, then you'll see my true worth. Or when I get the right job, then you'll really see what I'm capable of. No, my friends. The same you will go to that promotion, and the same you will go to that next job. The same character will show up. So can you work consistently and faithfully? Because there is an eternal principle that not even hell can turn around, which is, as you sow, you reap. That's not grace, sister. Of course it is grace. It is in the book that is the epitome of grace, which is Galatians. It is for freedom Christ set you free. If you read Galatians 6, 7 to 10, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps as he sows. Whoever sows to the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Therefore, let us not grow weary in doing good. You do reap what you sow. Have you sown into the bank of faithfulness? Because if you've not sown into the bank of faithfulness, how can you expect to make a withdrawal? Think about it. If you have not sown into generosity, how can you expect to make a withdrawal? If you have not sown kindness, how can you expect to make a withdrawal? And yet, God, even there, overrides. Even what we reap in goodness is the grace of God. Because really, all we deserved was punishment and death. For the wages of sin is death. But thanks be to God. He gave us new life. Paul was tested in this. Had Paul said, I'm in prison and there's nothing I can do, do you know the four epistles we would not be reading and holding in our hands today? Because those are called the prison letters. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Timothy? Let me see my notes. I forget. Anyway, there are four. Okay? These are the words of a man who was in prison. Look at what he penned. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. He hasn't lost his vision. He hasn't lost his dream. Ephesians 3:1. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Do you see a depressed man? He is overflowing with, he's talking theology and suddenly he breaks out. Now to the immortal, invisible, only wise God be praise and glory. Where is he writing this? Not at the Hayat, not at the Regency, not at the Taj. He's writing this in Yerwada jail. He's writing this in prison. And even our prisons today are 5-star compared to the dungeons 2,000 years ago. Rat infested, dank, dark. He was even put in stocks. Go read about what stocks are. Where hands and legs are in a wooden clasp. You can't move. This man writes. He's praising. What do Peter and Silas do? Paul and Silas do, sorry. Praise. They were praising God. And in the midst of that, boom, thunder, their chains fell off. And they walked out. What is it that is going on in our heads? They could imprison his body, but they could not imprison his spirit. God will entrust things of the kingdom to the faithful. I'm not saying this. Jesus has said it. Things of the kingdom he entrusts to the faithful. Well done, good and faithful servant. Our lack of consistency causes our calling to fall away. You and I, my friends, have something to do about it. Last but not the least, communion. Joseph and Paul and Peter and the rest had a deep walk with God. Apart from him, my friends, we can do nothing. You want lasting fruit? Stay close to Jesus. Because Joseph had communion with God, he was in tune with the Holy Spirit and he could interpret those dreams. Because he was with God, in Genesis 39:21, it says, the Lord was with him and showed him kindness and granted him favor. God gave him wisdom to plan for the famine. God gave him grace to forgive his brothers. That can't happen if you don't have a living relationship with God. He could have chosen to lash out and mete out revenge on his brothers, but he didn't do that. Again, Joseph was consistent in his character, and he passed the test with flying colors. Paul, in prison, for me to live, to die is gain. Brothers and sisters, the Romans Romanized the world. In Acts, it says in Antioch was the first place Christ followers were called Christian. What is Christian? Little Christ. What are some of the qualities of Christ? All of Corinthians 13 and more. When people look at us, can they say, oh my goodness, he looks just like Jesus. She looks just like Jesus. That's a challenge. Can people just by our behavior say, ooh, that's a little Christ. There goes a little Christ. That is the meaning of being apostolic. Philemon was the other book Paul wrote in prison. So I want us to spend a moment reflecting and say, God, what are you putting on my heart today for the next decade? We need to have short-term goals, medium-term goals, and long-term goals. What are you putting on my heart? Where do I see my life 10 years from now? How many in your 20s? Trust me, 20s is very different from 30s. And 30s is different from the 40s. And now I'm in the grand 50s. And seriously, I can look back at life and say, oh, well, that I could have done different. That I could have done different. Not with regret, okay? It's having a sober judgment. I'm saying, that I could have done different, I still have the chance now. I can make change that. I can alter that. I was not always good at following my dream and my destiny. I gave up at one stage and behaved like a victim, expecting others to help me, get help from here, help from there. And God said, I am sufficient. And I will show you. And yes, I will open doors and I will send people your way to help you. But first, you need to change the narrative in your head. Stop thinking like a victim. So we're going to ask ourselves some questions. Are you willing to fight for your calling? Do you have a dream? Some of us have given up and given in to a victim thinking, and you need to repent. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Because had I not repented, and repent is simply change of mind and change of behavior, I would not have written the over 24 songs that we do sing in church today. But the change had to begin with me. Repent is to change direction and change the way you're thinking. Some of us need to renew our minds. Some of us have been saying, what if, but, I can't, for way too long. Circumstances can be neutral, but how we process it and how we think about it affects our feelings, and our feelings affect our behavior. Can we change what is going on in our mind? Some of us need a want to. Some of us need a dream to start living for. Ask God, because God has given each one of us a calling and a dream. Some of us need to learn to say no to some things and yes to some things. Some of us, my friends, and this is how I would talk to my kids, and you're not kids, you're adults. What I mean is frank, okay? I'm saying you're just being plain lazy. And a father will tell you that. You're just being lazy. Come on, pick up your butt and start doing something. Right? It's not a bad word. Get up from your seat and do something. I talk to my kids like that. Nothing gets sugar-coated with them. When they need a little, you're shaking your head, you know, they get it. They get a tough talk from me. And then they pick themselves up, and by the grace of God, they have the humility to say, "Come, Mom, thanks for talking to me. I was getting distracted." And Father God today probably wants to shake some of us and say, "You've been lazy. Come on, fan into flame that gift." Some of us have to burn some bridges with old ways of thinking, old ways of doing, maybe even the company you keep. Some of us have to work on our consistency because we have been too dictated by our feelings. Some of us have had a great year last year. It's not all bad. Some had goals and accomplished those goals. Anyone had goals and accomplished them? I managed to tick quite a few things off my 2019 list. Some are not, but at least a few did get ticked. What are you willing to sacrifice in order to co-labor with God to make your calling come to pass? I'm going to put that whole list up so that you can pause and reflect. This is now a time between you and God, okay? Maybe you need to get your phone out and make a note, because I've seen this one thing. When you don't write it down, it doesn't happen. Or very rarely does it happen. Which one of these is God putting a finger on today? Maybe it's more than one. For those who managed to fulfill goals last year, the encouragement for you is think about this new decade. There's a bright future ahead. What are you going to do different? Whatever category you are in, the grace of God is available to make a fresh start. Ask God for strength today. I would have loved to do a song as a response, but we've completely run out of time. But let's be an apostolic people who are committed to our calling and who are willing to be world changers. I know we've run out of time, but I do not want to leave this without a response. Because when we respond, we have a responsibility. Right? And I want you to think, what is this next decade going to look like? What do I need to change? Especially for you, very few teenagers here, but especially for you teens and 20s. Listen, your whole life hinges on this next decade. Choices that you make in this next decade are going to affect the rest of your life. How are you going to live it? And there's no bringing these years back, my friends. Do not live in regret. Yes, God restores locust eaten years and all that, but they are locust eaten nevertheless. Okay? So let's stand and just let's have a moment with God and say, God, I want this decade to count. Count in my life, count in my family, count in my place of work, count in my neighborhood, but I want to make a difference. I want to be apostolic in the way I live. I want to be that salt that is going to bring influence, and I want to be light that will bring wisdom of God into every situation. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will seal this word, that your word has fallen on good soil, and that it will bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And December 2020 will have a great story to tell. I pray this in your precious name. Amen.